Alrighty, well, it's very good to be here. I'm just wrecking the pulpit here. That's fine. Okay, it's great to see all the young people here. Were you all impressed with the welcome you got tonight? That was very good. And didn't John do a good job up here? He didn't even look nervous. Where is he? You were nervous, weren't you? Yeah. No, he did a great job. You try doing that sometime. Yeah, that takes a lot of courage to stand up here. Good job, John. And also the musicians did a wonderful job there as well. And we thank the Lord. If you're visiting this evening, thank you for coming along. And it's wonderful to see a good crowd out of a Sunday night. All right, we've got our Bibles here open at John chapter 3, I assume. And this is one of the most well-known passages of the Bible. And it's one of those passages that, as a preacher, you think, well, everyone preaches on this, so I'll skip over it. But we must not skip over it, because it is such a wonderful passage. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so you obviously know what the topic of tonight's message is. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings of the day and the lovely sunshine, for the good the good time we had at the one-way service this morning. We do pray and ask now, dear Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the Word of God. We pray for the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to do a wonderful thing tonight. For those here tonight, Lord, that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, may they see their desperate need and respond. And Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing upon us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Nicodemus, funny name, Nicodemus was at least three things. He was religious. In other words, he was a Pharisee. He was educated. And he was influential. And what I mean by that was this: he was a ruler. He was very well respected. And he went to see the Lord Jesus Christ at night time. Now, why did he go to see Jesus at night time? Now, I was always taught when I was a little kid, as we went through this story, that he was afraid of what others would think. And maybe that is the case. But maybe there were some other reasons. Maybe he wanted an uninterrupted interview with the Lord. Now, remember, Jesus was so popular, it was very hard to get anywhere near him. Or maybe, just maybe this is the reason, maybe he had to see Jesus then, and he couldn't wait any longer. But it doesn't matter, really. The fact was, he went to see Jesus. Now, a very interesting thing here, in verse number 2, we have a rabbi calling Jesus a rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." He understood the obvious. In other words, no normal person could do all the miracles that Jesus was doing if there wasn't something special about them, if they didn't come from God. And he obviously needed to learn a little bit more about this man Jesus. I wonder what Nicodemus wanted to ask the Lord Jesus. I'm sure he had a big batch of questions. Did he really come from God? Why did God send him? Was he going to bring in the kingdom and get rid of the Romans? And I'm sure he had this question for the Lord: why do you keep preaching against the Pharisees? Because the Lord Jesus spent a lot of time preaching against the religious hypocrites. But you know, old Nicodemus, he didn't get a chance to ask Jesus anything. Because right from the start, Jesus said to him, verse 3, "Verily, verily," or we could say, of a truth, "I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said right from the outset, and as I said, Nicodemus didn't get a chance to ask any questions. The Lord said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Right from the start, you know what Jesus did? He got Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a classic Jew, and he just smashed away their ancestry. And this is what I mean here. To the Jew, even today, to the Jew, ancestry is everything. and correct me if I'm wrong if there's any Jews here this morning, but an Orthodox Jew, even today, he prays two things every morning, an Orthodox Jew. He prays and he thanks the Lord that he's a Jew, and he thanks the Lord that he's not a woman. That is the truth. You go and ask an Orthodox Jew. They pray that prayer every day. But to them, the really big thing is, well, I can trace my ancestry all the way back to Abraham. And Jesus straight away said, listen, Nicodemus, forget all that stuff. You have to be born again. In fact, Jesus said to some Pharisees at another time in the New Testament, you can read it yourself. He said, you see those rocks up there on the hill? I can make them into the sons of Abraham. He said, that's no big deal. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You know, there's no such thing as a second generation Christian. Now, I understand what we say when we say second generation Christian. In other words, your parents became Christians and you became Christian. But really, every Christian is a first generation Christian. Nicodemus did get to ask a question. In verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what did the Lord Jesus mean there when he said, except a man be born of water? Now, there's a lot of different views out there. Some would say it's talking about baptism. Some people would say it's talking about the water of the Word of God. Some would say it's talking about the Spirit of God. I think he's just talking about physical birth. I think he's using a contrast here. He's saying, listen, except a man is born physically, he can't be born, obviously. That's obvious. But except a man is born spiritually, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is he saying? He's saying this. Just as you must be born of water to have physical life, you must be born of the Spirit of God to have spiritual life. And he put it so simply. He said you must be born again. Now, why does every person in this building tonight, here on the 12th of August 2012 in Bendigo, why does every single person here need to be born again? I'll tell you why. Because there's a thing, the reality of sin. You know, we are born, there's a view out there in Australia today that we are all God's children. You ever heard that? We are all children of God. And a lot of people believe that. But nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the Bible says that we are born enemies of God. Born enemies of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, this is the way most Aussies think. If you were to go out to the streets downtown, the centre of town there of a Saturday night in Bendigo, I'm sure you'd see some down-and-outers. You know, people sleeping out in the park, maybe drunk, maybe on drugs. And the average Aussie says, see that fella on the park bench down there? There's your sinner. That's your sinner. I'll see the fella over there in the jail? That's your sinner. Oh, I'm not too bad. No, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is born in the family of God. You know, you never have to teach someone how to sin. You ever figured that out? Now, I know people do learn bad habits, and they do learn to sin, but you never really have to teach someone how to sin. I can prove it to you. I've got four kids. I'll prove it to you. There's my son, David. I never had to teach David how to sin. It was inbuilt. I love the little illustration I heard once from a very famous preacher once. He's talking about a little baby. He said, you ever gone in, there's a little, you know, maybe 3-4 month old baby. Anyone here got a baby brother or sister? Anyone? Little baby brother or sister? Okay. And they're about three, and you mums and dads, you know this. 3 or 4 month old baby, little baby starts crying. And so mum runs in, you know, picks the baby up. What's the problem with the baby? the baby's got wind. So you burp the baby, burp, up comes the wind, put the baby down, little baby's happy again. Little while later, baby starts crying. Wah! Okay, come in. What's the problem? Wet nappy. Or worse. But anyway, so you pick that baby, you change the wet nappy, little baby's happy again, fine. 20 minutes later, wah! Baby's crying again. You come in, pick the baby up. What's the problem? They've kicked the covers off. They're cold. Or they're hungry. Or whatever. So you fix all those things up. Now that little baby sitting in the bassinet there thinking, every time I cry, my mother comes running in. I'm going to try something else here. So here's the little baby. It's got a clean nappy. It's got a full belly. Got no wind. All nice and warm. And the little baby's there by herself. Boy, it's a little bit lonely back here. Wah! Baby starts crying. Mother comes running in. Picks the baby up. What happens? Little baby starts laughing. Why? That little baby's just started to learn to deceive. Who taught the baby how to do that? No one. You see, we are born in sin. We are born wicked, we are born evil, and we just get worse. And that is the truth. You ever got an apple? You know the story. What's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm? Answer? Finding half a worm, yeah, yeah. Now, how did the worm get inside the apple? I'll tell you. The little bud on the tree, along comes Louie the fly, or not Louie, Louine. The fly comes along and lays the egg on the bud, and the apple grows around that, and there's a worm inside the apple. So it was born in there. That's our problem. Our problem, my friends, this evening, is not that we are born good, we are born bad. And we progressively get worse. That is our state. The fact of sin. Psalm 58 verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And you can dress it up all you like, but sin is sin, and we are born in sin. We were teaching the boys and girls on Friday night about the Ten Commandments. You all know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not have any graven images, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not tell lies, and so on. Shalt not covet. You know, God gave us the Ten Commandments. Why? So that we could keep them? None of us can keep the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us how crooked we are. In fact, the New Testament says the law was our schoolmaster. Like a straight edge, it shows us how sinful we are. Why is the new birth so important? Because we are all born in sin. We are born enemies of God. Just think, if you are not a Christian tonight, if you're not born again tonight, you are an enemy of God. Well, I want you to notice, people get mixed up here. They mix the new birth up with reformation or religion. You know, the new birth is not turning over a new leaf. The new birth is not trying to clean your life up. Doesn't work that way. You know, if the new birth was religion, most people in the world would be born again. Because there is so much religion out there. The world is saturated in religion. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in this chapter to a Pharisee. And if anyone in the world today, even back then, was religious, it was the Pharisees. They were religious. But Jesus said to the religious man, you are the one that needs to be born again. Nicodemus, you are an enemy of God in spite of your sin. You need to be born again. You know, we get this mixed up. People think that because they are born in a religion or born in a church. My great uncle was a man called Christopher Goy, G-O-Y. And he was Presbyterian minister. His father was a Presbyterian minister in England. Uncle Chris became the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Victoria. I don't quite know what a moderator is, but the head fella anyway. And I've seen a photograph of him on special occasions. They used to wear these funny linen breeches and a funny hat and a funny coat. I don't know what it all meant. But he got right to the top. He was the minister of Scots Church in Sydney, in downtown Sydney. He was born in the 1959 Billy Graham Crusade here in Melbourne. I think it was 1959, at the Maya Music Bowl. He was on the platform there. He was a respected churchman. One of his best friends was a fellow called John Flynn, Flynn of the Inland. And he had an amazing life. But you know, not long before Uncle Chris passed away, my mother wrote Uncle Chris a letter and said, "Dear Uncle Chris, can you please tell me the time that you were born again? When did you become a Christian?" And Uncle Chris wrote back to my mother and said, "Dear," who was his niece, "Dear Annette, thank you for the letter. As far as I know, I was born a Christian." That's just about the saddest thing you could ever read. A religious man just like Nicodemus, with no concept about the need to be born again. There's an absolute requirement for the new birth. What actually is being born again? What is this thing called the new birth? Well, simply this. It's being born again, or being made into a brand new person. It is being made spiritually alive by God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, someone says, "Well, if all things have become new, why is it that so many supposed Christians don't seem to live any different than anyone else?" Well, I can tell you the answer to that. They're most probably not born again. They're most probably not born again. You know, look at verse 8 here. Robert read verse 8 for us. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, or wherever it wants to go. And when you hearest thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In other words, you can't see the wind. You don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it's going, but you can see its effects. That's like the new birth. You can't take the new birth and put it in a test tube and say, "Here it is." But you can see the effects of the new birth in a changed life. And when you become a Christian, when God comes into your life and makes you spiritually alive, your life will change. That is a guaranteed promise. When you're born again, your life changes for good. I often use the example of my father-in-law. And he's a great man. He's well in his 80s now. But he grew up as a bookmaker's assistant. In fact, his father, who was an alcoholic, he was a drunkard, and he had an illegal bookmaking operation at the back of their fruit shop in Bankstown. And that's the sort of life that he grew up with. Just a really, well, we use that saying, born on the wrong side of the tracks. That was my father-in-law. And he's a big man. He's about 6'3", and big fella. But you know, up until the age of 50, actually up until the age of 51, he was afraid of the dark. Here's this great big man, successful businessman. He would sleep with the light on because he was so afraid of the dark. Well, to cut the story short, at the age of 51, he was born again. God made him into a new person. And among other things that happened in his life, he was no longer afraid of the dark. You see, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What's the reward of the new birth? Well, the reward of the new birth is this. You are born into God's family. You are born into God's family. "But as many as received him," John 1:12, "to them gave he power to become the sons," or the children, "of God, even to them that believe on his name." Aren't we all children of God? No. We are born enemies of God. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we can become part of God's family. In May of 2009, our first grandson was born. We have two now, two grandsons. And Alexander Fraser Young was born in May 2009. And when little Alexander was born, because he was born into the Young family, he now has all the privileges of being called a Young. I've got no idea what they are, but he has all, whatever those privileges are, he's got them, you know. So, and you can't take that away from him, because that's the family he was born into. I hope he gets his grandfather's looks, I really do. But anyway, could you imagine being born into God's family? Becoming royalty. You say, how does that happen? Through the new birth. How is someone born again? How do we become part of God's family? By believing. We receive Jesus Christ by believing. You see, the gospel message is, and you've heard it so many times, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinful life. He died on the cross, and when he was on the cross, he became sin for us. God punished his only son for sins that he never did. He was punished for the sins that I did and you did. And he died for the sins of the world. He was buried, he rose again. That's the good news. But the good news can be yours by believing. It's a thing called faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the invitation rings throughout the Bible. Come. You know how you get born again? You just come as a sinner to the Lord. I didn't say you come to the church. I didn't say you become religious. I didn't say you try and do better. Those things don't work. They never have worked. You come as a sinner. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We quoted a verse this morning for those of you that were here. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if there's someone here this evening and you know you are not born again. You know that there never was a time when you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Well, I think tonight will be the best night ever. For you to come and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I ask you the question, if you're not born again, why aren't you born again? You know, the opportunity, and I'm just about finished, the opportunity to be born again will not always be. Someone says, well, I'll think about becoming a Christian when I retire. You may not get to retirement age. I read in the news this morning, the Pacific Highway was closed at Nambucca Heads this morning. There was a fatal car accident. The Newell Highway was closed at Tamworth, or the Oxley Highway closed at Tamworth this morning. Fatal accident. You've got no guarantee on tomorrow. None at all. The opportunity for the new birth will not always be. The opportunity for you to be saved is now. Not next week, not tomorrow, but now. I often tell the story of, true story, of an Austrian surgeon, and his name was Adolf Lorenzo. Now, from the story that I read, it didn't actually say what he was famous for, but we're going back most probably 100 years now, or nearly, and Dr. Lorenzo, he developed some sort of surgery that helped save many, many lives. And again, I don't know what condition it was that he helped treat, but whatever it was, he became famous. And what he did, he developed this procedure, and he did a speaking tour going around the world, teaching other doctors and hospitals how to do this procedure. There was a lady in the town of Philadelphia. Her daughter had this particular medical problem that this doctor was able to treat. So she actually wrote him a letter from Philadelphia all the way to Austria in Europe, begging him to come to her town and to do this operation and save the life of her daughter. Well, a year or or whatever it was, passed, and Dr. Adolf Lorenzo was actually in Philadelphia. He was at one of the big hospitals there teaching them how to do this, and his schedule was very, very heavy. He was much in demand, and it said one afternoon he was back at his hotel, and he decided to go for a walk just to clear his head. So he walked out through the suburbs, just went out by himself. He hadn't been gone that long, and overcame the clouds, and down came this tremendous storm. He was getting soaked to the skin, and true story, he said, "I have to get out of this storm. I'm going to catch a cold." So he went up to the first house, the very, very first house he could find, knocked on the door, lady opened the door. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry," in his broken English, "I'm very sorry, but please can I come in for a few minutes? I'm getting dressed." She said, these are her words, she said, "Please go away. There's enough trouble in my house already." She closed the door in his face. He wandered back out on the street, and it wasn't long. Some people from the hotel came out, found him, and took him back. The next day, that lady got the local paper, opened it up, and there was a picture, a photograph of Dr. Lorenzo in the paper, and she let out a terrifying scream. You see, this was the woman that wrote him the letter, begging him to come and fix her daughter. The opportunity for that was gone. Absolute tragic story. My friend, if you sit here this evening without Jesus Christ, you leave this place. I'm not saying you won't have any more life left. I can't say that. But what I can say is this: the opportunity to be saved is now. Jesus said you must be born again. And I wonder if there's someone here this evening. I don't know your heart. Only you know your heart, and God knows your heart. But I wonder if there's someone here this evening and you'd say in your heart of hearts, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know that I'm a Christian. But I would like to call on Jesus Christ to save me, forgive me of my sins, and make me part of God's family." Is that you tonight? Let's have every head bowed and eye closed, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if there's someone here this evening and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know that I'm a Christian." No one's looking around, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you would say, "Preacher, that's me." I'd like you to respond tonight. You say, "How do you want me to respond?" Maybe if you could just raise your hand just for a moment, put it down. Putting the hand up is not going to make you a Christian. What it's doing, it's saying, "Preacher, I see my need this evening to be saved." Is there someone? Would you just raise that hand? Say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know that I'm a Christian." God bless you. I see your hand. Is there someone else? Just raise the hand and put it down again. All you're saying is, "Yes, I see my need. I don't know that I'm a Christian, but I want to be born again. I want Jesus in my heart." Is there one other person? Would you please raise the hand? I'm not going to call you out or anything. Thank you, Lord, for the one that raised the hand. I pray that that person would find Jesus Christ tonight. And I'm sure, Lord, there are others here tonight that do not know the Lord. Please, dear Lord, would you work in their hearts? May they take Jesus Christ as their Savior this night, Lord, because now is the day of salvation. Work in our hearts, we pray, dear Lord. In Jesus' name.